A Saints and a Lions fan walk into a bar. Want to hear the end of this joke? Tune into this episode where I am interviewing super fans Roddy and Picari, and we're going all things Detroit Lions and New Orleans Saints, plus much more. It's football, it's wine, it's all the time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Third and Wine. This is, I'm Caitlin Brower, obviously, and I am your host of Third and Wine. So we are on episode 3, and I have to tell you, like, oh my God, I am just riding high every single week. I'm so excited for this podcast because I get to bring on the best of the best when it comes to NFL, college football, all things football every single week. I am just so pumped to continue this podcast and push it forward, and I thank everyone for their support. So speaking of support, I'm bringing in two people who were supporting me back with the Real Football Fans of New Jersey. They run in my circle on Twitter, and I was so excited when I was like, I need to bring these two people on. So without further ado, here are my guests for tonight. We have Picari, we have Roddy, and we're doing a Detroit Lions and New Orleans Saints. I love the flag, honestly. That is just amazing. And must I say, the three of us have phenomenal setups. You know, Picari, you're all decked out in Detroit. Roddy, you've got your Georgia stuff back there. We're a little upset about that, but you've got Saints. I'm here with all my Bama gear. So I am so excited. Thank you both for joining me on this episode of Third and Wine. And I would love for you both to take a second and to introduce yourself to our audience. I'm going to bop you guys up to the top because you are the focus tonight. So over to my left, Roddy, I see you. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself to my audience?
Yes. I am Roddy. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia right now. I'm a Saints fan. I know that's like, how did that happen?
How did that but let them know.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I moved here in 04. So I, you know, wasn't really into football, and I was 7 years old. So I was super young. I'm only 25. So I was, you know, totally into the Michael Vick thing. I was asking my dad for cornrows. I had the shoes. I had the jersey. I had everything. So I was cool. You know, everything was going well. And then, you know, he kind of, you know, got caught fighting dogs. So, you know, all of that, you know, disappeared very quickly. And I was like, man, I just need, I didn't really appreciate the Falcons. I was young. I was upset. So, you know, I strayed away and I said, what better than one, a fan base that, in my opinion, the Saints have the best fans in the whole league. To me, of course. But you know, I can see them every year too, so it's even better. So yeah, that's how I, you know, pretty much became a Saints fan. But my Georgia fandom is just, that's the first college football game that I've ever went to and just fell in love instantly. Sure, you have the same experience with, you know, that school. You know. But, you know, that's me. You know, just a sports fan in every sense of the word. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And real quick, can you let our followers know where to follow you?
Yes. So the at that I have right here, the Players Ball One, that's the at for my own podcast, the Players Ball Podcast. You can catch that on YouTube. I release episodes weekly. So there should be one coming tomorrow for y'all, you know, kind of discussing everything with the, you know, NCAA tournament that is starting up a little in a second here. So yeah, it's going to be a good episode. So make sure to follow me there. And then you can follow me at my personal account at Roddy404.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. And listen, Picari, I'm excited to have you here because you are a diehard Detroit Lions fan. And I got to tell you, I have such a space in my heart for the Lions. I really do. And if anything, I'm pushing for them year after year. So I love your dedication. I love that you're a Lions fan. So can you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes. Like you said, I'm Pakari Woodland, a Lions fan through and through since birth, born and raised in the city of Detroit. Love everything Lions, everything Pistons, Red Wings, Tigers, Michigan fan, go blue. Just here to support my friends. Love everything about sports, diehard sports fan, everything. Try to get to a game whenever I can. Kind of hard these days with two kids, but you know, try to fit it in when I can. But yeah. You guys can follow me right there, LL Cool P on Twitter. I'm on Instagram also at Pac-Man Woodland. It's just a bunch of dad content, sports, funny stuff, memes, and also supporting my friends in all of their endeavors, their podcasts, their videos, everything.
Awesome. Well, thank you as well for being on. And you're right. I love that you threw out there that there's dad content, there's memes, there's things. Because listen, we'd love to be all football. I wish my life was all football, but it's not. We've got so many other things going on. So it's great to see everything that the both of you are doing. So let's go ahead and get into this episode. So real quickly, I just want to run through, you know, the latest in free agency, and that's pretty much everything that's gone on this week. And if I missed anything, people, you know how crazy it's been the last 3 weeks. This is probably one of the most hectic free agencies I've been
on. I know. It's been crazy.
Yeah. Movement left and right. It's shocking movement left and right. So I'm going to read off some names here, and then you guys just kind of, you know, let me know how you're feeling about them. So Elijah Moore is going over to the Browns, you know, but that's okay because Mecole Hardman over to the Jets. We got Adam Thielen going to the Panthers, excuse me. Damian Harris is to the Bills. Devin Singletary is going over to the Texans. And then also with the Texans, Dalton Schultz from the Cowboys is going over to the Texans as well. So those are the big names I pulled out from this week. Any initial thoughts from the two of you here on that list?
It was crazy. Like, I'm surprised that the Texans are, you know, stocking up as many
players. They're making moves.
When everybody knows they're still going to be terrible. But, you know, it's fine trying to get people into the stadium. I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised by Damian Harris going to the Bills. Mm-hmm. That kind of shocked me when I was like, I felt like the running game was like, all right. But when I saw that, especially inside the same division, I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I see y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah. I think the number one that kind of surprised me was the Panthers giving Adam Thielen that money. He's that on money. The other side of 30. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been a true number one since he's been there. I mean, everybody sees what Stephon Diggs is doing now in Buffalo. So we can assume that, you know, he's kind of number one guy in there. You know, he's a slot receiver as well. I don't really know what that does for them. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of talk that CJ Stroud is going to be the guy that they pick. And he had his pro day, I think it was yesterday, too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. That was probably my number one where I was like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I mean, definitely for sure. I knew Adam Thielen was obviously going to make the move. I agree with you on the money part. When it comes to Damian Harris, you know, the Patriots already lost Jacoby Meyer. And I honestly think that they now are losing to, you know, offensive minds on a team that we always joke about Bill Belichick going to the local Walmart and getting the cashier and playing on their team. But
yeah, those Uber drivers.
They're making plays for them. And you have a young, you know, quarterback in Mac Jones that's still trying to find his way into the NFL, how he fits in with the structure he had at Alabama, bringing it over into the pros. Why are you pulling guys like that away from your team? So again, it is the free agency, so anything's fair game. I just always wonder, with what we've been seeing over the last 3 weeks, I want to see how hard their original team actually was in trying to keep them in their organization. And if the Patriots didn't try hard for both of those players, that alarms me. That really does, because now we're looking at a Patriots organization. I'd love to read the roster right now and be like, who? Mm-hmm. On top of being like, who normally to them? Right, so. Right.
And I mean, it's almost as if it's sacrilege to say, like, post-Tom, Bill hasn't made a lot of great decisions. No. Like, if we're just looking at it at face value, and I understand he has the cachet to make some mistakes in his career, but I think he's still fully realizing how much he didn't have to worry about that side of the football. because, you know, we have, you know, Jude, our friend, that's a Patriots fan. He already pre-expects that they're not going after the big offensive targets. They're not going after Lamar Jackson. You can already expect that. They're going to get, like you said, the cashier to give you 900 yards on the ground. And then they're going to get, you know, a kid from Iowa that's a linebacker who's just going to have the best season of his life. So we really, if you're a Patriots fan, I would start putting some heat on them. I really would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it makes sense. Because it's like, at, like you were saying, after Tom left, you start, people start to hear the rumors like, oh, was it really all just Tom Brady? Right. Like, how is he going to be now that Tom Brady's gone? And I feel like he's still trying to navigate that. Especially like you said with Mac Jones and then the ragtag bunch of people he has on offense.
Yeah. And I think that you're absolutely correct. You know, both of you, it's, and the time, it, the clock is ticking, you know, it's been how long since Tom Brady has moved on, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think Mac Jones can succeed, but if you got to help him, you got to work with him. So, and we're in an era now. I mean, just speaking from experience with Alabama quarterbacks have never succeeded in the NFL, and you've got three kids, a fourth one coming. Run with it, people. Run with it as much as you can. So I definitely agree with you both. It's, you know, it, people are really going to start questioning what he's doing. So I'm looking forward actually to the Patriots in the draft and seeing what they're capable of. And we'll have to see for sure in a short amount of time with that draft right around the corner. But we will get to draft talk later for the two of you. But speaking of the NFL draft, let's get into some quick just stories around the NFL this week. Just announced today, great timing, Bakari, 2024 NFL draft is in Detroit. Are you going to go?
Yeah, and I'm dragging however many kids I can down there with me.
It's a family affair, honestly. Yeah.
It's been really cool. I'm going to take a picture of it next time I'm downtown. They've had an archway downtown with the countdown on it. So we've been hip to it for a little bit, you know. But it's really cool. It's like a little archway downtown off what we're saying, like, you know, NFL draft 2024 with the countdown. I'm like, all right. Yeah, come to my city. Let's see how it is now.
I love that. I love that. And with truly too, like, such a dedicated fan base, as I said earlier, you know, about you and for a team that I've been pushing for a very long time. So I love to get the excitement there. I would, it's on my bucket list to go to a draft. So we'll see one day. It's going to be a little closer than that, but we'll see. All right. So some other things going on, you know, in the NFL. So the Bucs actually released kicker Ryan Succop today after three seasons with the team. Bryce Young has had his Pro Bowl today. His Pro Day today. He'll probably go to the Pro Bowl later in his life. He visited with multiple teams before his Pro Day. And then speaking of Pro Days, you also mentioned CJ Stroud, but Cam Newton showed up at Auburn's Pro Day, and Shannon Sharp called him random, and Cam Newton is pissed about it. That is my biggest question mark of the week. Cam Newton, what are you doing? Maybe he saw that Daniel Jones is making $40 million a year now, and he was like, oh my goodness, I want back in this game. I want $40 million. But to me, I agree with Shannon Sharp. Cam Newton, you are so random. What are you doing? And just show up to a Pro Day? That's where you show up to try to make it back in?
That's my question, Kaylin. Like, we are SEC football fans, so we're very experienced on the type of season that Auburn had this past season. Right. And we're experienced with everything that's going on, you know, with the coaching hires and all of the fan base and how they feel about it. So knowing that and knowing they had the season they just had, you want to come and steal the shine and throw, by the way, the throw that everybody's talking about.
It's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Funniest.
And I love Cam as a Georgia fan. What we had to endure, Caitlin, we had to respect it. He forced us to respect him. Okay. So I get it. But he's like, there's not 32 quarterbacks better than me. That's so he's not trying.
There's backup quarterbacks that are better than him.
Exactly. He's not just trying to get into the league. Like, he thinks he can start. And
yeah,
look, I want you to be confident in yourself as an athlete. I understand that until you're physically unable, you know, you're still going to feel like you can play. But come on, bro. Come on. You're an entertaining dude. You can do media.
You can come sit with us.
Do something.
Like, he can just go be on like ESPN or like FS1 or something, make you a couple million dollars, talking your talk, dressing all fancy like you like to.
Yeah, dress crazy. You can be fine.
I don't.
But when he said 832 people in the league better than me, I said, oh, Cameron.
No. And there's a new wave of quarterbacks coming in that are better than you. Just stop. Just stop. I just thought it was so silly. You know, and we always see that kind of, I think, every so often, like someone tries to get back into like the mainstream media and like they try to make themselves, you know, be aware of me and things like that. And he's just, you know, he pokes his head in every so often. And I'm just like, I want to bop him down and be like, just stop. Just get away. Stop.
And he's like, an Atlanta legend too. He's an Atlanta legend too. So I love him. I do. But come on, bro.
It's just like enough at this point. So that was definitely my biggest takeaway from the week. But there's clearly a lot going on in the NFL. Still, free agency is still popping, obviously, as you can see. So my recommendation to everyone is just keep your phone open constantly. Mm-hmm. Refresh Twitter. Go on Instagram. Follow Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter. Follow the NFL. And just because there's so much going on. And my recommendation for tracker for free agency is Fox Sports actually has a really good tracker going on. It's to the minute. It's to team too. So your team gets updated in real time. They have a great NFL free agency tracker right now. So definitely keep updated there. But all right, back to free agency. So I think it's so interesting bringing you guys on as a Saints fan and a Lions fan. So the both of you have done, you know, some moves in free agency so far. I want to, you know, tip my hat to both organizations. I think you've done some, you know, very reasonable things, maybe only a one or two question marks thrown into the mix. But I think one of the biggest things is I'll read it off actually as it'll be Roddy and yours. A nice little swap you had between a player going from one team to another, and we will get to that one for sure. I saved him for last. So, Pakari, let's start with Detroit. So I'm going to read off the moves you've made so far. So you've got cornerback Cam Sutton, linebacker Alex Anzalone. I'm really bad at pronouncing
Anzalone.
Anzalone, sorry. Yeah. Running back.
Yeah,
he's fine. Yeah. Running back David Montgomery, which I think is a big win for you. And then another W for here too, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So thank you for taking him from the Philadelphia Eagles, because I'm sick of that person shutting. So thank you for that. So how are you feeling about your free agency moves thus far?
I feel great about it. It feels nice. After all these years, you know, we have to beg people to come to Detroit, have to get the scraps, you know, people's free agency, because everybody's like, I'm not going to go play with the Lions. They stink. And so
it's you just don't nice. Stink, though. That's the thing.
I know. Like, and it's great that people want to come here. We got players that are willing to take less money and re-sign with us. And it's just like great that everybody is starting to see what we saw when we first hired Dan Campbell, that he's a coach that's all about the team, that wants to set his guys up for the best position. He's all about working hard. And if you come to play, hey, you're going to start and you're going to make some things happen. And so it's just nice to finally see that, you know, the GM and like the management and ownership is all on the same page and, you know, not having to every year say, fire this person, fire that person. You know, it's just nice for once.
Listen, I feel you deeply. I personally get you on that one. It does feel great to not come to a season and be like, all right, we're just firing everyone and we're going to figure it out. I very much, you know, give a lot of credit to the Lions, you know, right now with free agency. And again, you're another team. You both are teams. I brought up the Patriots earlier that I am looking for in the draft to see what you are able to do. I'll get into the Saints in a little bit as to why I'm looking at them closely. But, you know, with the Lions, I think you bring up a good point. Like, are people questioning coming to this organization because of the seasons that you've had previously? But for me, it's what you just said. You guys are currently building upon things and you're seeing the success. Even two seasons ago, you were coming down to the wire on every single game. Like, you know, even if it's ending, you know, with a 500 record or right underneath it, you're not showing that that's the type of organization or team that you are. You're in games and you're losing them at the last minute. But now you pulled through this last season. I thought, I mean, I picked you guys going to the playoffs this year, but, and, you know, making a run for it. But sincerely, you know, just as a football fan and watching and seeing. So now I'm very pleased to see what you guys have done in free agency. I'm looking forward to the draft because I believe in Dan Campbell and I believe in your organization. And I think you can go back to, you know, days where, you know, Megatron was really putting up a show for, I know I miss him so much. Really putting up a show. And, you know, when people saw Detroit on their calendars, they were like, ah, shit. So I think it's going to happen again. I mean, I think people probably thought that this season too. Yeah. So very exciting free agency thus far. You know, there's still moves to be made, I'm sure. But again, the draft is TikTok. It's coming right around the corner. So I'm excited to see that.
Me too.
All right, Roddy, let's get into the Saints. So you've got a two quarterback situation right here with Derek Carr and Jameis Winston. You got both of them. You got tight end Juwan Johnson, defensive tackle Kalen Saunders, and this is what I saved for last, Jamal Williams.
Treat him well.
Is now on the Saints. So obviously, Roddy, I'll give you a chance right now to go through your free agency moves so far, but then I would love for you, the two of you, to talk about Jamal Williams. So.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So we got a quarterback. I guess we should start with that.
You got two? you've got three, technically.
I was about to say, you know, with the Saints, anything can happen. I always say there hasn't been a boring Saints offseason, I think, since like 2016. Like, it's either our quarterback is flirting with retirement. We got screwed by the referees. They're, you know, players going to Vegas and getting arrested and, you know, having cases. So there has not been an uninteresting Saints offseason in a long
Quite
time.
Quite the offseason.
Definitely so. And they've all been consecutive, so it's even worse. But I think that Derek Carr, although I was not impressed with what he did last year, I do think that, you know, a organization that is competent like ours, that can put good players around him, is going to make him a little bit better. I think he is more of a floor raiser and not a ceiling raiser, which means he can, you know, be good, but he just has to be good enough. And with Michael Thomas coming back, he restructured his money, so he's not going to have as heavy as a cap hit. And I think that'll be beneficial for him. We found a diamond in the rough in Rashid Shaheed last year, a guy, I think we got him in the fourth round of last year's draft, a rookie. So he's been balling. Obviously, we know what Olave is going to do as long as he's on the field. He's probably going to turn in to the best wide receiver this year. So I think what we're doing is, you know, good so far if we're talking about offensively. And then when we get to Jamal, I mean, this guy's crazy, man. Like, I don't know if y'all saw his introductory press conference.
Oh my God. He is the weirdest person. So I did I do love it. I did not know he was like that until this year. He had like something like a press conference, like it was after the season, or maybe it was like right before the end of the season. Maybe it was like December timeframe. And I'm watching this video and I'm like, holy shit, this guy is so weird. Like, so weird. Like, such a dork, like a nerd. And I was like, oh my God, I would have never, because, and that's the beauty of it though. That's the beauty of the NFL and the players that are out there and like people that have, you know, so many types of interests and so many different skill sets. Like, he is a Pokemon nerd till the day he dies, but you put him in an NFL uniform and he will literally run all over you. And he is horrifying on the field. So I was dying in that first interview I saw with him. I was like, oh my God, like what a weirdo. And then the Saints introduction thing, I was like, this guy, like, I can't. Like,
I don't know if you remember, Caitlin, but even on Hard Knocks last year when he was given that, a hype speech or whatever, you know, about how last season, you know, everybody, you know, underrated them and doubted them. And, you know, he felt like he wanted to give everything to this upcoming season. And he started crying in the middle of the speech. So, this is a dude who loves football.
He does, honestly. And I can see it. And he's just like a tremendous player. But, you know, it brings to the question, you know, this was one of the most shocking, I think, moves in free agency I've seen this season. I really did not think he would leave the Lions. You know, point in case, Roddy, what you just said right there, the devotion he had to his team, the love he has for football. Obviously, I knew he was a free agent. This free agency list is, you know, one of the most attractive free agency lists as well. I think that's why it's been a crazy 3 weeks for us, because it's the list of free agents, you know, going into the 2023 season, it's great players there. So that's where I questioned before, like teams, you know, how hard they fight to keep him. So Pekari, I'm sure you're hoping that they did fight hard.
I blame his agent.
It's okay, that's, you can always blame the agent. You could be like Lamar Jackson, though, don't have a fucking agent.
What I've heard and what I've read about it is that the Lions want a deadline because of what I talked about before. We didn't want to end up with like scraps at like, you know, running back. So I'm pretty sure they told his agent, hey, we want you to have, you know, a deadline. If you want to come back to us by this date, here's the offer we're taking us. And his agent was probably like, nah, we can get more on the open market. Yeah. And they were like, all right. And then the Saints came out. I was just like, okay, if he were to go to a team, I'm glad it's like the Saints. I'm like, how can you not love the Saints? You got Alvin Kamara there. You know, Michael Thomas there. You got Derek Carr coming back. I was like, that's
Alvin
fine.
Kamara's probably not playing.
And then they play each other this year, so I get to watch them. You know, I might.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to see how cheap flights are to ATL. I might be at the game. Who knows?
And it's the perfect pairing, too, Pekari, because if you think about it, Dan Campbell used to be the coach for the Saints. Mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn used to be a coach for the Saints. You're getting a lot of Alex Anzalone.
Yep.
Saints. So it's a lot of connection between the Lions and Saints, and they obviously – they're thinking, I guess, you know, in similar ways. So that's why, you know, we're good and, you know, not bad.
Yeah.
Two cut from the same cloth, you know.
Come on now. You see it. You see it.
Yeah. It is definitely hard to see some players, you know, leave, though. I think, you know, one of the biggest shocks for the Giants this offseason was Julian Love going over to the Seahawks. You know, you know these players are free agents as you enter this market, but
Seahawks.
I know you kind of hear them, oh, they met with a team, and you're like, nah, they're not gonna go anywhere. And then the next morning it's they're going somewhere, and you're like, oh my goodness. So there's definitely been some players over the last couple of years that I've been emotionally tied to, and they, you know, they walk and you get it, it's a business, they have to. So it just sucks sometimes. So I'm sure that one, it hurts right now, but, you know, like you said, you've been, you know, making really good moves thus far. So, and I think that the draft will tell, and then we'll move into the 2023 season and see what the Detroit Lions are all about. So speaking of that, I now want to bop over to the back to the two of you, and let's look back at 2022. Obviously we're talking about, you know, current day right now, we're going to get to the draft in a little bit, but reflections on both of your 2022 seasons. Pekari, I'll start with you. You know, what are your three takeaways from the Lions 2022 season?
All right, three takeaways that I got from my Lions 22 season. Number one, we got it right with Aiden Hutchinson. He's a dog. Came through. He was killing it this past season, and I just can't wait for him to build on that next year. He came second in the rookie NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year to Sauce Gardner, which, you know, That's fine because Sauce was lights out this year. So you can't really be mad about that. And second one was Campbell growing as a coach. We saw the year before when we were like 3-13-1, a lot of the going for it on fourth down just because, you know, we're at the 25-yard line. Instead of kicking a field goal, let's go for it on fourth down. And you see him learning from his mistakes, growing as a coach, you know, taking the points when you're supposed to, punting the ball, you know, making adjustments on defense, you know, making the hard choices and getting rid of, like, DB coaches when your defense is the worst in the league. But just doing that, growing as a coach, and last year, great QB play and great team play on the last half of the season for Jared Goff, and then the defense and the offense as a whole. As you saw, he was killing it in QBR, you know, touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And I think I looked at it, I'm pretty sure he only threw one interception like the past 3 months of the season. And it was just like him and the team finally growing and clicking together. And it just had me more excited about last year. And Dan Campbell being the petty king that he is at that last game, he was like, oh, we can't go to the playoffs. You know what? Packers ain't going either.
I love
going
that.
In Lambeau and whooping they ass. Yeah. Sunday night football. I even let my daughter stay up a little bit to watch that with me. I was like, girl, it's fine. It's the last game of the season. You can stay up and watch some of the first quarter. I got you.
I loved that. I was on the Dan Campbell train on that. I was like, you know what? They have the opportunity to bop someone from the playoffs. They better do it. And they did. And I absolutely loved that.
The fact that it was Aaron Rodgers, too.
I know. He's a loser. I hate Aaron Rodgers. But that's for another episode. I'll bring a Packers fan on and talk shit to them. But so, I mean, from your takeaways there, I can assume you like Jared Goff. And you do feel that he will bring you towards success.
I do. Okay. Jared Goff is my boy, man.
All right.
I rock with Gerard.
Yeah. I think he makes much more sense. Yeah. In your organization, I do like him as your quarterback. So
you see what happens when you have a coach that actually cares about you, you know, see how good you can play.
Yeah. But Matthew Stafford sucked with you guys. I don't like him. I don't think he's a good quarterback. Sorry. He's not your quarterback anymore. Don't
he's not. He's not. That's why I was just for a split second.
He's that, both that, of our old quarterbacks.
Oh, God. You know,
but I'm good now.
Get over it. Get over it, the two of you.
He was our guy, though.
He was at one point in time. He's not anymore. He's found the base problem. Or
it's a problem, I think. So, and he could have been your problem for the long term. Yeah. So I think you're in a better situation.
That
right
good
now.
GM's shipping him out of there.
Yep. For them draft picks. All right, so let's move over to New Orleans. Roddy, what are your three top takeaways for the Saints 2022 season?
Well, number one, I have to start with we had the worst injury luck of all time.
It was
just to crippling areas. I have to be dramatic because it's my team. You know what I'm saying? I felt those losses in my chest. But to have Jameis go and break, you know, four vertebrae in his back in week one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Marshon Lattimore missing 8 games with a lacerated kidney. Obviously, Michael Thomas, you know, so.
So we're talking about unique injuries. That's what you're talking about. Not just your entire wide receiver corps get out and all of that. Because I'm sorry. I know a couple
other
teams.
Did that happen to?
Look, I was talking about.
Your tight end got their eye ripped out. Sorry. I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely so. It could be worse. It could be worse, definitely. So
unique injuries, yes. Okay.
Yes, injuries killed us. I felt like we definitely hurt from that. Not saying that Andy Dalton, you know, was terrible, but he was just okay. So that could have been better.
That's the definition, I think, of Andy Dalton. He's okay. I mean,
not terrible, but you would prefer something else.
He's okay.
Kind of like Chipotle. Anyway, but number two, I think, and we were just talking about free agency, and I didn't talk about the defense. So the defensive line had to go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every single one of y'all go, leave, be on another team, find different opportunities. Don't really know what the Minnesota Vikings are doing, Pocari, with signing a guy who had half a sack last year in Marcus Davenport and giving him $14 million. And let me also mention that half sack didn't even happen on U.S. soil.
Okay? So it doesn't count.
So it was a football sack. Okay. So
football.
Yeah. Come on. It wasn't real. So
yes,
every single one of you can go. I'm glad we're kind of retooling. We'll get into, the future of that position a little bit later in the show, I'm sure. But that was number two. Definitely did not get any type of pass rush. I thought our secondary was good last year, but again, they were needing to cover for 4 and 5 and 6 seconds. So it made it a little bit difficult, going on later into the season. And then I think number three is I really think we do need a new offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Our offense looks like our quarterback is 40 years old with no arm, and there would be no mistake because that was our quarterback from 2017 to 2021. So now that we don't have that, now that we have a guy that can stretch the field, I want to see more of that. I want to see more motion in our offense. I don't want the quarterback – and his, IQ and everything like that, intangibles, all that stuff. I don't want him to have to get by solely off of that. I want this guy's life to be made easier. And you're seeing all of these new offensive coordinators around the league getting hired because they're using these different things in order to make their offenses successful. So that's definitely what I want. A new offensive coordinator. If I had to fire anybody on the coaching staff. Sorry, Pete Carmichael. Sean Payton is in Denver, so you can go be with your boy.
Right. Yeah. Listen, I think that's fair. So I brought it up on my last episode of Third and Wine. The Saints were brought up, and, you know, something that frustrates me, like looking at that organization, was you literally had just put up a great point. You know, you used to have an older quarterback that was pushing, you know, 40, and your team was acting that way. Why are you still acting that way when Drew Brees is no longer your quarterback? You're trying to update this team and everything like that. That has been my biggest frustration with New Orleans, is that over the last couple of seasons, you haven't done a single thing to update your team. And you rely on big names like Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, who actually haven't been doing anything really for you in recent times as well. And we look upon this season, of course, you restructured Michael Thomas. I don't know if Alvin Kamara is going to play this season with everything that's going on behind the scenes. So there's just really a lot, you know, there. And I think that I had spoken about it last episode, that just they are a team that I look at and I struggle with what they attempted to do, I would say, in the last three seasons. What did you actually even try to make yourself better? So I appreciate that you're sitting here as a fan talking about the structure, but then saying you need new, you know, a new offensive coordinator, you need new people in X, Y, and Z here. So I think it makes sense, but
yeah, for sure. And I think, and I'll reference, I don't know if you guys saw my guy, Nick Underhill, who runs NewOrleans.football. I had him on my podcast as well.
Oh, nice.
He had a little bit back and forth with FS1's Nick Wright about the cap situation.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
the cap situation, in my opinion, I do agree with, you know, mostly Saints fans are like, well, you know, we're cap wizards. We can manipulate the cap in any way. You know, we can make this a void year, that, you know, a signing bonus, this an incentive, whatever. I do think some players are worth that courtesy, but there are certain players that I don't think are worth that courtesy.
Right.
And that's been my main issue with the Saints front office, is they're presenting that courtesy to the players that, you know, sometimes don't always deserve it. Now, I'm glad that these guys are willing to take less money and willing to restructure their contracts in order, you know, to be in this culture, because it says you're doing something right. But there have been some situations where, you know, we were speaking about Chauncey earlier, you know, he wanted his money. I can understand why the Eagles didn't want to pay him, why we didn't want to pay him, right? But he's a guy you lost because, you know, you might have gave too much money to this guy, restructured this guy, or, you know, whatever. And Marcus Williams is the same with the Ravens. I thought he was one of the best, if not the best player on our defense for the time that he was here. And to see him go to Baltimore, you know, again, over the money situation, it happens. Like you said, in the NFL, it's a business. So, you know, there's always going to be a team that's going to win, be willing to pay the price. But I do give them some criticism when it comes to certain restructures and certain moves, because, yeah, the guy was good for the team, but he was good for us in 2020. He was good for us in 2021. Is he going to be good for us in 2023, 24? I don't know. So that's been my only thing with that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. So let's look forward. Let's look now, you know, ahead. We're going to look to the 2023 season and probably beyond with guys that are going to come out of the NFL draft. So for the both of you, Bakari, I can start with you. You know, what are the key positions that you feel the Lions need to go after early in the draft? So I think, you know, a lot of teams have some pretty reasonable real estate this year, but I'm talking like early rounds. And then do you have any players already in mind? I mean, full transparency, I do not. So I'm still doing my heavy research. So
it's kind of unique for us, since we have two picks in the first round. We got pick 6 from the Rams, and then we got pick 18, which is our own. But I know one of our glaring needs that, you know, a lot of the NFL world knows from CNN on Sunday, is we need to hit defense. So I'm thinking like defensive line, edge, you know, linebacker, cornerback, you know, even a safety if you need to. And a couple names I have in mind, I'm hoping, I'm praying that Jalen Carter will fall to us, because everybody is dumb and scared and won't draft him. And so hopefully he will come to us at six. If we don't get him, then I'm good with Tyree Wilson, the edge out of Texas Tech, I believe. And then if not him, a couple cornerbacks, either Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon or Devon Weatherspoon out of Illinois, or even Michael Porter Jr. Yes. Right. Joy Porter Jr. So out of Penn State. So any one of those guys in the first round, I'll be good. And I swear to God, if I see another mock draft that has us taken a tight end at 18, I'm going to lose my damn mind. Because why on God's green earth will we draft a tight end? We would have all these issues on defense. I'm talking to you, Mel Kiper. What is wrong with you?
Don't listen to Mel. You know what
Todd,
talking
Todd,
about.
Todd. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I think you just listed off a very attractive, you know, group of individuals right there. It's funny that you bring up the tight end thing, because I went with the Giants last year. We got Wandale Robinson early as a wide receiver, and I thought he did great before he got injured this year. But I was like, damn it. Like, I kept hearing his name early, and I was like, no, we can wait. Like, wait a little bit longer. Like, we have our needs, like all this stuff. And they ended up drafting him, and I went on a couple podcasts that week. That week was so busy for me. I was on a bunch of different shows.
Yeah.
And I went on the one, like, right before they had drafted him, and I was like, no, we can wait. We can wait. And not even just for him. Like, we could wait for the wide receiver position, just push it out. And they ended up doing it, I think, like live, like while I was on one of the shows. I was like, damn it, like honestly, but it ended up working out. So, I understand, fine. Like, you might get frustrated and it might happen for you, but maybe just let it pan out from personal experience. Let it pan out. Like, I was so frustrated last year, but I felt the same way you did. I was seeing so many mock drafts and I was like, why the heck would they do that? I think it was we had one of the first picks in the third round, and that's when we got him. And I was like, what? Like, why? Yes, so, like, we could have waited. Like, so, but listen, I think you just listed off a ton of great guys there. And, you know, your back-to-back is very attractive as well in the first round. I would also be in favor of you guys trying to fish around a little bit and see if you can get even more real estate with one of those two picks.
Because that's a lot of things that I've been seeing too, like a lot of people trading. I think I saw one with like the Raiders traded up with us at six, or like the Colts. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Holmes, you know, willing and dealing on draft night and traded both of those picks for like crazy haul. So I'm all for that too. I trust him. I just don't want to see anything crazy. And obviously, if something crazy happens, you'll see it, because I'll be mad tweeting about it. So
of course, yes, we'll definitely be following that whole weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, trust in your GM is super important, especially, you know, going into a draft like this. So Roddy, how are you feeling about the draft? What are some key players you think the Saints need to go after early? And then do you have anyone in mind?
Well, D-line. You know, I was talking about it earlier. Now that everybody, you know, has had a complete turnover, we signed some guys. Obviously, the defensive tackle we signed, his name escapes me right now. But I see them mocked as taking the kid from Pitt, Kalijah Kancey is his name.
Yep.
He's a little bit undersized. I'm not going to lie. He's a little bit undersized. But I think he's quick, and he's kind of a different change of pace. If you look at all the guys that just left the Saints, they were more power, you know, rushers, even the edges. You know, Marcus Davenport is like, he's like 6'6", like 280, 290. Right. So he's huge. So, you know, maybe they're taking a different approach, going more speed, you know, because these offensive linemen, not only are they big, but, you know, they're a little bit more agile. So you're going to have a guy who can, you know, have that bend and have that type of thing. But, I mean, if you want, you know, me to tell you where my heart wants to go, I mean, you know, I want Nolan Smith. I mean, I do. Okay. He's good. I loved him since, you know, the beginning of his career at Georgia. I think the kid is going to be a star with whoever, you know, he goes to.
Yeah.
I was mad that he got injured, but I'm sure he'll be fine for the beginning of the season. But that kind of would be the prototype of, you know, edge rusher that I would want in an ideal world. But for what we can get, the kid from Pitt, I think, will be good. And then I also do think offensive line is going to come up, especially at the guard position, somewhere in this draft, just because And this is a guy who's, you know, really pissed me off over the years. I'm not going to lie to y'all. But Andrus Peat, okay, you can almost schedule him for an injury,
yep,
you know, and missing 4 to 5 weeks. And I get it. You know, it's football. I don't play football, so I can't tell you, you know, you're getting hurt too much. It's crazy to say that.
Listen, but, I don't
mind. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, right. Exactly. But at a point, it's like your availability, yep, is going to matter. So I definitely think they'll go after those two positions,
okay,
for sure. And then, you know, I think it should be best player available from then on out. So
yeah,
hopefully it's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting there. I mean, I think the kid from Pitt is interesting. I have to look into him a little bit more. Your size, like, you know, detail definitely concerns me a little bit. I think when you enter into the NFL, and we're seeing this with a guy like Evan Neal, who is an absolute stud, in my opinion, from Bama, and he is, yeah, a taller lineman. He is built in a certain way. He was getting beat a lot, you know, this year, you know, with the Giants. And I struggle with the kind of, and he's not small. He's very tall and built in a certain way. But he's not your, like, 300 to 400 pound, like, offensive lineman. So that's where I struggle. Like, when you're looking on the D line as well, like, if they are a smaller and you think that he might be quicker, I look at that as potential, you know, it might not be the best scenario. So, but again, though, what you bring up, you know, are they trying to shift that mentality on defense to be quicker, to be faster, and try to be that explosive there? It could potentially work, but the sizing, I think, is a little bit of a red flag for me right there. But again, I have to look into this kid more, because I don't really know much about him for sure. And then I had another point to bring up, and I totally, and then offensive linemen. I am much geared towards that now, because the Giants don't have a center anymore on their roster. So they are just, they are centerless, with John Feliciano going over to the Niners, and Nick Gates, you know, that he went over to the Commanders. That was a big shock. So we are centerless. So I was not looking at linemen going into this draft, but now I am. So yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, right?
Creates needs. Uh-huh.
Going into that. All right. So this is an interesting question I have for the two of you. So what team do you think is going to look good going into the 2023 season, but they're actually going to be mediocre? So Roddy, I'll start with you.
Pakari, join me, brother, as we trample on the Minnesota Vikings.
No, stop. They're always mediocre. I do not believe in them ever. Don't ever believe in them. They will disappoint you.
And I think it's going to happen again. I mean, you know, coming off of, you know, first of all, their commitment to Kirk Cousins has always been strange. It always will be strange.
I don't get it.
They love it. Here's the definition of mid. I don't get Kirk Cousins. I don't understand him in general.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. We'll leave it at that.
I don't think he's good. There you go.
I mean, but you know, they put the chains on him, so now, you know, he's Kirko.
No, you don't need to do that. Like, you don't need to do that.
Get the chains on with his readers.
Or do it, like, not on camera. Like, you can do that with your friends in the locker room if you want. Don't film it. You look like an idiot, and then the Giants beat you in the playoffs. You're dumb. Like, stop.
But I mean, they like the guy, I guess. That's the best part. But I say the Vikings because, again, right, and I had a tweet this past season where I was comparing them to the 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if y'all remember. They were like 11-1, or like they started like 12-0 or something crazy. And we were all watching the games like, this team is not – they're just getting these lucky breaks. And if you look at the Vikings season last year, they should have lost that Saints game if we weren't incompetent. Mm-hmm. They should have lost that game to the Bills if we didn't see one of the greatest catches we've ever seen in our entire lives. They should have lost countless other games during the season that they narrowly just squeaked out a win in. Yeah. And I know that everybody, you know, says they have offensive firepower with Justin Jefferson. The Dalvin Cook thing is up in the air. Maybe he comes back. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But their defense was incredibly disappointing last year to me. Yes. And that's why I think why they struggled and why they were in games that they should have clearly, you know, won by a fair margin. So I'm coming into this next upcoming season. They were the division winners last season. So they're expected to, you know, repeat or do something similar. But
yeah,
my guy Pocari, you'll agree. Y'all have something to say about that. I know I'm about to sound blasphemous, but I think the Packers might be good too.
No.
I don't know. They might be good. I'm not saying Jordan Love is going to be a world
Jordan
beater.
Jordan Love season.
Yeah. I'm not going to say he's going to be a world beater. Is he going to be Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre? Hell no. So if you're a Packers fan, don't expect Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. Mm-mm. But that defense over there.
All right.
That's fair. I love their defense.
That's
so
fair.
But that's my team, though, the Vikings. I think they're coming in third easily this year.
Yeah.
To me.
You feel the same, Corey?
I do. And it's so funny that you said the Vikings, because it was between them and another team in the NFC North is the Bears. That's who I think is going to be terrible.
Yeah, they're trash too.
Yeah. So I think like everybody's getting like, oh, you know, they got DJ Moore. And Justin Fields has weapons now. Rah, rah, rah.
Justin Fields has to play a game.
That's
like
what I'm saying. That's what everybody seems to forget. Like, he's still the quarterback that has to throw the ball to these people. Like, it doesn't matter if DJ Moore is wide open, if Jordan Claypool's wide or Chase Claypool's wide open, like,
right,
he's not going to get them the ball. And it's like, oh, you know, I think it's going to be another case of their defense might be pretty good, but it'll be a thing where they'll lose a game like 12 to 10. 15-9, like, because they won't be able to score any points. So they'll make a slight improvement, I think, from last year. Like, they might win like 6 games, 7 games, you know, but you know, they're not going to do anything special. It's just another year for Chicago. It's just like, don't worry about them. It's fine.
Yeah. Got some love over on YouTube. One of my Giants Twitter fans. Let's go. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. And obviously, if you are watching live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, pop over some questions, some comments if you have. I've got a couple of more things for these two guys. But if you guys have anything, obviously, go away. Ask away.
Fire away.
I won't sing for you guys. I do like to sing sometimes on the pond. Me too. So everybody, I know. And this microphone is so intense, though. I feel like it really picks up the sound. It's probably like breaking the sound barrier. Horrendous voice, but I think it's both, you know, it's interesting, you know, with the Vikings and the Bears. I'm on board with the two of you with the Vikings, and it's just enough is enough. Like, let's stop collectively as NFL fans believing in them, because I've said it year after year. I mean, and it comes down to players too. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins. You know, I got to see it twice this year, that team in and out. You know, the Giants was one game that they totally should have lost in like that first game this past year, but they didn't. But then they ended up losing again because we had their number and we knew exactly what they were going to do. And that's all. We just had to shut down Justin Jefferson, and we did it in both games. Like,
and let me tell you, I enjoyed every second of that game.
Good. So did I. Yeah. I loved it. I even loved the game we lost. We shouldn't have lost it. It was a great game though, but they just, it's too much. I can read them like a book. It's just too much at this point. So I am fully on board with the two of you there. All right. Well, it is that time of the episode. My favorite segment. It is called Wine It Out. So you get to take the stage and you get to complain about anything you want. Whine about it. Let it go and let the people know what you want to complain about. So, Bakari, I know you're very passionate about yours. So you got to start it. You've got your glass of wine. Let the people
know. Go ahead, swirl it around, my boy.
Let the legs hit. Let the audience know what you're drinking too. What kind of, it's a red wine. So if you're listening to the podcast, I'll explain it to you. It's red.
Mm-hmm. This is a wine for the people. This is a Chianti from the finest of establishments, Costco.
Oh, Kirkland brand. Listen, do not sleep on Kirkland brand alcoholic.
Exactly.
Beverages.
So I was doing, you know, my weekly dad shopping at Costco. I'm pretty sure I had to go get more diapers.
Love that.
And then, you know, you don't just go to Costco for one thing. You have to walk around the whole store.
You get everything.
Thing, you know? And so I peruse over to the wine aisle and I go, I like Chianti. I mean, this can't be that bad. And I'm like, it was like $7. So like worst case scenario, I just lose $7. So I went, chilled it, went to IKEA also, got me a nice red wine glass, fired it up. Delicious,
right?
You can, I love
don't,
it.
Don't sleep. I tell you, the Kirkland brand. Well, the vodka is actually Grey Goose recipe. Mm-hmm. So do not sleep on Kirkland brand alcohol. So I'm letting the people know that. I've never had their wine though, so I will go at and I will check that out. So I don't really have a Costco near me, but
it's a win-win situation. You don't need a membership to buy their alcohol. Also.
Oh, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. That's a great. They're not. They're like. I'm from New Jersey, but they're around. But it's like you gotta go when you're going to Costco. It's not like your weekly trip. It's like your monthly or quarterly trip. You're going to the Costco. So.
Okay. Side note: I did not know the Meadowlands was right by the airport in Jersey.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's they're close by. Like, yeah, it's a newer airport.
I figured it was just like, you know, the Meadowlands. It's like far away and like the tip of New, like
Narnia.
No.
Yeah, if I get off, I get out at Newark, and you know, I get the rental heading to New York, and I'm like, is that I'm driving by, I'm like, is that the Meadowlands?
Well, you can see it from the plane too. Yeah. So when you take off and when you land, you normally can always see MetLife. Yeah. And it's wild when you're in the games too. The planes are like very low. It was more when it was Giants Stadium. So like MetLife is a lot bigger. But it's in a different, like, it's like literally like 2 feet over. But with Giants Stadium, it was way more open. And the way that the planes, like, I swear sometimes were like literally like right above you. And I was like,
as you look out of your left window, you see the Giants versus the Packers.
Yeah. No, it is cool. And it's cool lit up at night. So I've taken off and landed a lot within Newark at nighttime. It's very cool to see MetLife kind of lit up. But yeah, they're very close. And fun fact, you know, the Giants and Jets play in New Jersey, not New York. So. Yes. All right.
I'm going to whine it out. About, guys, it's Michigan football. Like,
do it.
What is John Harbaugh doing? Like, he needs to get it together. It is terrible because I'm just stuck in purgatory. It's like he's going to keep being Ohio State. He's going to, you know, win the Big Ten championship. And then he's going to get to the college football playoff. And he's going to poop the bed and act like he doesn't know how to play defense or scheme for a team. It's like, What
maybe you don't belong in the college football playoffs. Have you ever thought about that?
Maybe it might have crossed my mind a couple times, Caitlin.
You're talking to two spoiled fans too over here, by the way. So.
Spoiled? I'm coming off of two really shit seasons, so I do not want to talk about spoiled. And I have a very long time of not being spoiled. Don't call me a spoiled Alabama fan.
I just want to just make it to the CFP championship and maybe even just win one, you know, before I send my daughter to college. You know, that's all I want.
Well, it's not going to happen because now they're going to expand and then you're just going to get knocked down the first round like, again. Oh, so. Nope,
they played Georgia 2 years ago. You know, they just pack them away like a little baby. Like, I don't know how to score touchdowns anymore. But that, I'll say that one didn't feel as bad because Georgia actually ended up winning the championship. So I was a little okay with that one. But then last, like 3 months ago, guys, it's still fresh. It's still fresh. TCU was just like, no, I don't, you know, whatever. And then they go on to get sunned by Georgia. I'm just like, that could have been us, you know.
Oh, no, but it wouldn't, because you would have gotten your ass kicked by Georgia as well. So
it's fine. It's okay. At least it wouldn't have been in the championship. That's, you know, I just want baby steps, progression, you know. I'm just at a plateau, purgatory hell that is just here as a Michigan football fan. And they need to pick better out of conference games. This year coming up, we got ECU, Bowling Green, and UNLV. Why?
That's all on the college. So I know. Got to call up Michigan and talk to them.
I'm going to drive to Ann Arbor. It's 40 minutes. I'm going to go talk to them.
Because Nick Saban picks, like, we play the most random ass out of conference game. So you got to call. You got to call Jim and let him know. So, well.
Yeah, I'm gonna send him a letter. Holler at him, like, Jim, what's going on, bro?
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Listen,
I don't
understand your pain, but I also feel like I don't really have sympathy for you either. because maybe you guys didn't really deserve to be there. So, and I will say that. And I'm also a very cranky college football fan, but that's that.
Fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Anyone would have gotten spanked by Georgia in the final this year. And I say that strongly as an Alabama fan. You guys would have sent us packing probably within 10 minutes of the first quarter. So I say that because I know I know that it's real. It kills me, but that's it. So
I'm loving where the direction the show is going right now. I'm loving it.
Well, you have your chance now, Roddy, to whine it out. So what do you got?
So you were talking about earlier in the show, how hard are some of these teams fighting to keep these guys? Mm-hmm. And I thought about it just a second ago, and I'm like, hold on. I want to, you know, inquire about how hard are some of these teams working to go get some of these guys,
which
is also important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm looking at the football team that plays in the city I live in, and I see the Falcons, and I see Arthur Smith, a coach.
They're not doing anything.
And my biggest issue is for you to have one of the most generous cap situations in the entire league. You probably I think they have like the second most money in the entire league. And you don't want to go after Lamar. Why? I don't understand that. I'm sure Desmond Ridder is a great person.
He's not going to
sure,
do anything.
You
for
know,
them.
I'm sure he's great. I'm sure, you know, they love him over there. Taylor Heineke seems like a great guy, you know, used to be in the XFL, Green Lizard, you know,
like,
cool.
Congrats.
Like, cool. Right, but we're talking about not
winning.
Only a guy who won a Heisman Trophy. I don't think that gets put into Lamar's repertoire enough, too.
No, like, I think people forget that, and that's really sad. I think it's really, really upsetting.
Like, he came on two different platforms and dominated. Mm-hmm. So I understand he's been a little banged up for the past 2 years. I get it. Mm-hmm. But you saw what this could be with Vic. You just saw what it could be.
Right there.
Like, it's right there for you. And I'm taking it even from a capitalistic, you know, approach. Like, it's a cash cow. It's easy. Atlanta is a huge city, a huge black city. Like, they're going to get behind a black quarterback. So for the Falcons to not want him, and look, again, I don't want them to be prosperous, okay? I don't want Lamar in my division, all right? But at the end of the day, like, I know stupidity when I see stupidity.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So his whole contract situation, I guess, would be what I'm whining about, because there are multiple other teams that have the available capital and just don't want to do it for whatever reason. It's not like the kid's been in trouble. It's not like the kid's, you know, been not liked by his teammates. Like, he's pretty much done everything you could ask him to do except for stay healthy, but that's only been for, what, 2 seasons? So
I would say Lamar's like 1.5, maybe. Like, I wouldn't even give it. I wouldn't even give it the full two.
You don't have a good offensive line too. So
I hear people go into the argument of, you know, well, his playoff performances haven't been stellar either.
It was just him. He was the only person in the playoff games. I am the person that have said he hasn't performed in the playoffs. But when I say that, it's the backing up of, like, there was no one else. Like, he was the one.
Like, yeah, like, you want a prehistoric offense to get, you know, it's like driving a Ferrari, like, 35 miles per hour. Like, you got the Ferrari. You're supposed to be going fast. You're supposed to be doing new, fun, sexy things. So the fact that you're not, and the fact that, you know, the entire league, I mean, a lot of people are very hesitant to say the collusion word, but it was just amazing to me how, you know, when the non-exclusive tag got announced, it was like not even 20 minutes later.
Oh,
there are 4 or 5 teams.
Yeah,
like, oh, yeah, we don't want them. We don't want them. I'm like, huh? Why?
That was so weird. Like, I don't know why that timeline happened. Like, just like, don't even say anything at that point. Just let him, like, the announcement was made. Like, I almost thought, like, this isn't about you as teams coming out and saying you don't want, like, I thought that was very weird timing. So,
yeah, exactly. So, I get it. And you know, to end it, I agree with the people who say he needs an agent. Okay. I understand you don't want to give your money away to somebody, especially somebody who you don't always know is going to have your best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. But I think it's helpful to get some of this information. Like we were just saying, all the teams, you know, leaking out, they're not interested. It's good to kind of, you know, have somebody behind the scenes that can leak information, that have relationships with some of these owners, you know, can get a good gist of what's going on around the league and, you know, break it real to you and give you realistic expectations.
Right.
So this whole contract situation, the only thing that frustrates me the most is that everybody is acting like it's not weird, especially Ravens fans.
I know.
And I don't know why they continue to act like it's not weird, because it's weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like half the Ravens fans I talk to are like set that he's like returning, and like maybe they just don't care because they just in their mind he's coming back. But then I've spoken to other ones too that are like, I'm so sad he's not coming back. And I'm like, well, why do you say that? Because like maybe you should then change your mindset to like, why aren't we trying to keep him? You know what I mean? So yeah. I think it's a good, you're right. It's weird and no one's really talking about it.
I'm interested to see if anybody will like wait till draft day and maybe deal him then, like depending on what somebody picks or what right. picks people have.
That's fair.
So I don't know. That's another thing.
But that's still too late, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like we should know today what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a former MVP.
Literally. Yeah. Like you were saying, there's no, I'm also surprised, like with the, like another team, like the Jets, like I would much rather have Lamar Jackson than Aaron, like.
Don't get me sorry about that.
By the way, he's not on the Jets yet, everyone. By the way, everyone watching this, he's not on the Jets yet.
I don't think he's not going.
That's what I'm saying. But how much, and if I told y'all, you know, this is not factual information, this is hypothetical. If I told y'all that Aaron went on Pat McAfee and just said that he wants to go to the Jets and there's been no prior discussion with the Packers, there's been no, you know, compensation that's already been arranged, and he just flew out the window because Aaron felt like it when he woke up that morning. Y'all would believe it, right?
Yep, 100%.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I said on the last, my last episode, my guest, her whine it out was about that, the quarterback situation in you know, New York with the Jets. And I had just blatantly said, you know, this isn't my time to whine it out. But if I was the Jets, you know, management at this point, grow a set and fucking pull out of that deal. Don't push him any further. Go after someone else or run with Zach Wilson. Enough with Aaron Rodgers. Enough.
Yeah. They want to do it though. Have fun.
Nah.
Yeah,
grow literally. A set. Back out.
Yeah. Have fun.
Act like a management team.
Yeah. It's a bad apple that shouldn't be on anybody's team. Like he should just go retire and just be a shaman somewhere.
I mean, that's probably the best for him. So. Oh my goodness. What an episode. You guys, I had so much fun talking to you for the last hour. Like, oh my goodness. This was absolutely incredible. I appreciate the two of you coming on and talking with me. Before we end tonight, please, again, I want our audience to know where they can find you and follow you. So, Pakari, let the audience know where they can find you.
Yes. You can find me at LL Cool P, where it's backwards. Boom, boom, boom. On Twitter. Also on Instagram, Pac Main Woodland. My there, having fun, chilling, living life, you know. Come kick it with your boy.
Absolutely. Roddy, where can the crew find you?
Yes, the Players Ball One. That is the podcast page. I am the host of the Players Ball podcast, so please tap in. We will have an episode for y'all tomorrow, so be looking for that. And then you can follow me on my personal Instagram and my Twitter at Roddy404. So, yeah, like Picard said.
Awesome. Thank you both. And I'm Caitlin Brower, and this is Third and Wine. And you can follow me at @CaitlinBrower_ or at Third and Wine. We are on all your favorite podcast outlets and Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Roddy, Pakari, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much
for
joining
me.
Absolutely. I will catch you all in the next episode of Third and Wine. Cheers.
Cheers, guys. See you.
Cheers to my empty water.
All right.